Hey, what's up, everybody? Little special episode thrown in because there's this mystery guy. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's been around for quite some time and he's doing a magnificent art, and we were all deprived of that art. But now he's finally back into the poster limelight. And yeah, let's welcome Matt Griffin, everybody. How you doing, buddy? You good?
Hey, Tom. Great to be back. Thanks for the lovely intro.
Of course, man. It's been, I mean, you're one of my favorite guests all time. You know, it's always fun with you. Like, you know, like when, like that, the off air kind of stuff. It's always good to have you around, like with funny anecdotes and cool things that you have been experiencing over your very, very long career. But how about you tell us what happened? Where were you? Under which rock did you crawl?
Well, professionally, work-wise, I crawled under a Web3 rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, yeah.
Dwayne The Rock, Web3 Johnson. And I got very heavily into the dreaded to some NFTs. Mm-hmm. Because, as you probably know, I like experimenting with different media, and I love drawing, but I also like animation and 3D and making music, and also I'm very much into my own IP creation and my own characters and stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just got into this 3 years ago, and it has been a roller coaster, but really kind of amazing too. And kind of tied in with it was I had this kind of story project that I had started, and people might have seen, anybody in the group on Facebook and stuff would have seen this character, the Endling. And
yeah,
so I'd been messing around with that for a few years, but I really kind of ramped it up in the last 3 years and sort of tied it in with this Web3 stuff, because there was things you could do, like things called like token gating, so you could only access certain content, and sort of gamifying the storytelling experience. Yeah. And I built the website, the Ending Saga website, and I just got very, very much into that for the last 3 years. Huh. And
let me ask you something in there, because like you've been on this for a while, and there was like a lot of like people were like from the poster scene and things like that. People were like, NFTs and all of that, that's blah, 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 blah. They were not fans, most of them, but how was it treating? Did this sentiment die down in your opinion, and how is it like in that space? Because I haven't followed that. I was just there in the beginning, but I haven't followed, so let's hear your side of things. How is this community?
Yeah, well, like, it has a very bad reputation, and in many cases that reputation is justified. Because, the outward public face of the whole thing are monkey JPEGs selling for $500,000 and Ponzi schemes. And the fact is that Ponzi schemes do exist within the NFT scene, but they also exist, you know, outside of it and elsewhere. The monkey JPEGs, the bored apes selling for vast quantities of money. Yeah, there was a speculative bubble that drove prices for this stuff to insane levels and unsustainable levels. And the bubble popped. It burst and the market crashed, which actually needed to happen. But the main point would be that there's all this shit going on within that space. But behind all of that, there is this amazing community of incredible artists and creators of all different types of media. So like animators, filmmakers, photographers, illustrators, painters, sculptors, you name it. And they're kind of using all these new technological tools to create provenance and authenticity to their work, and this whole technology of digital ownership and smart contracts and all this kind of stuff. And it's unbelievably inspiring kind of space to be in, with loads of really, really good people. And so they kind of suffer from that public face, that the negative PR that it's attracted. But really behind all that bullshit, there's just incredible people doing really, really interesting work. And like, sometimes that might just be straight up a piece of art they've drawn and they mint it instead of print it. But in other times, it's people that are exploring the smart contracts themselves and generative art and just all kinds of mental crazy stuff going on. So like, I've loved it. But yeah, the market has definitely crashed. So like, there's nothing happening at the moment for the last...
Yeah, that's what it felt like, because I haven't heard anything about it. But like, I mean, honestly, I didn't even follow up that much. But like, here and there, you heard something, but I haven't heard anything about NFTs. It wasn't in anybody's mouth lately, so... how did you make the space? Because I know, for example, a friend of mine, he's a director, and he went also into the Web3 direction, and he did like shorts, basically web shorts for Web3, so in that kind of space, did their art, but only as an NFT kind of version. And so I was wondering, how do you fit in with your art, and like what would you say makes your NFT art or the Web3 art special? Different from the print.
Well, so what I did was I used the descriptions to go along with the art as story pieces. And so, I decided...
Can I imagine like a panel, like a comic panel type with like a caption?
Sometimes. when you mint a piece of work, it's literally like just putting in the title and the description, and kind of there recorded on the blockchain is this description, which you can't edit or anything afterwards. It's kind of part of the art piece. And so what I did was I gamified this whole story concept I had. So rather than saying once upon a time there was a character called the Endling and this happened and yada yada, I kind of started showing glimpses of her world and other worlds that are connected to it. And in the descriptions of the pieces, there would be like dot connectors, common terms, clues, stuff like that. So you kind of gamified it. Yeah. And pretty much everything I minted was based on that. So anybody who took the time, and let me tell you, in today's attention economy, it's hard to convince people to kind of trawl through hundreds of descriptions and find dot connectors unless it's an IP that's already established. But that's what I've done. And then, so building up the website, you're kind of showing all the artwork that people would recognize in the space, in the scene of, you know, having been minted and sold or whatever.
Where can we
it all pieces together.
Where can people find it? I mean, I'm going to pull it up also, the website. Is it, which one?
It's theendlingsaga.io.
Theendlingsaga.io. Theendlingsaga. I think I typed it right.
Will I put it in the chat?
Yeah, put it in chat.
So...
then I can pull it up for the people. I found my... I wrote it with like Ent. Like the Ents from Lord of the Rings. That was my mistake.
It's all just an experiment in storytelling for me. And the digital ownership meant different things, as in it meant that multimedia work could be ownable. So... a simple example is that you can own an animation as a piece of art, whereas before you wouldn't have been able to. And that can apply to all kinds of file types. So you can own a 3D GLB, which means it's like an interactive 3D file that the owner can spin around, move around. And then you can also do things like I mentioned, like token gating. So there's pieces of mine that I would have minted like an animation, and it looks like a piece of credits from an 80s animation. And then people who owned that were exclusively able to access a letter from Three Moons mega corporation to an employee that relates to it. Do you get me? It's sort
of It's like I totally understand the game type of things. Like if you go around a starfield and then you find some weird letter in some small office on a forsaken moon, and then you connect it story wise, right?
It's exactly it. If Starfield didn't stall on me all the time so much that I had to stop attempting to play it, I would definitely use that reference. But yeah, it's exactly that. It's inspired by games. Like when you're playing Cyberpunk or something and there's a TV screen on the corner and stuff is happening in the TV screen, you know, what's that? So I'm like creating the brands or the ads, or it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I see already you also collaborated with other artists on this. For example, the Maelstrom Knight with Victor Duarte. And how do collaborations like that work?
So on that one, it was my concept. So I sketched up this knight and said, I want the foliage to die as he walks past and then grow behind him, kind of thing. And Victor is a genius 3D artist and animator. And so he took the sketch and he made that visual. So it's his animation and 3D work based on my sketch. And then I provided the music. I did some little bits of modeling, like I modeled the bow and I drew the pattern that's on the arse of the horse and that kind of stuff. And so we put it up as a collaboration between the two of us. And it hasn't been sold yet, but if it ever does, you know, you just split it 50-50 because it's an equal parts collaboration.
I mean, it looks very cool. It is. It reminds me of these. Was it on Netflix? Yeah, with the Love, Death, Robots kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is what it reminds me of.
Yeah, he's definitely someone who I think I've even tweeted to them saying you need Victor in your next series. But and there on that piece, actually, when you read the description, there's like a little. It kind of sounds like a medieval song or a poem.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole story written about who the Maelstrom Knight is and how he relates to another character that's the previous, you know, that the similar thing has been done with.
Yeah.
And only the owner of that one piece, and it's a one of one, so there can be only one owner, they would be the only people able to access this secret piece of story which connects them to the rest. Do you get me? So it's
Totally understand, yeah. So it's basically it's about collecting and storytelling and on a very big scale. So which is basically what, like, when I put it in poster terms, there's the collecting in there, and as we have the story, like the movies we've watched, connect with that, and it's on a similar level, personally for me at least.
Yeah, and like it won't all be purely Web3 based either. You know, the plan is most definitely to have prints and other pieces of merchandise. There hopefully should be some updates on my more personal work and character stuff as screen prints with the gallery, but I'll talk about that more in time.
Okay.
But that's it. This is the dream. It's like, I think I actually posted about it on Facebook at the time, 2017, the third book that came out. And I was like, I have this crazy idea, but I don't know if it can ever happen. You know, because I didn't know about this kind of multimedia digital world that I could use. And I just found the perfect kind of home for it. You know, the whole metaverse thing, I know it's also got a bad reputation. People just see it as sort of janky looking avatars and Mark Zuckerberg with no legs. But to me, there's a whole lot more to it. And I still kind of see it as the future of the internet. So I'm diving in.
I mean, it is really hard for people who are, I don't want to say visionaries or anything, but who kind of like, you know, dabble in tech and like are excited by this stuff. But how would you excite like maybe a collector from the postal world, or how would you get a commoner excited to get into this?
Well, I think in the very near future, a lot of the inhibitors to people getting involved in digital ownership are going to be gone. So what I mean by that is, when I started and over the last 3 years, in order to get in, you had to like download a digital wallet, pay gas fees, learn about smart contracts, blah, blah, blah. There was a whole pile of things you had to educate yourself on in order just to fucking, make the first steps to buy a piece or to mint a piece as an artist. Whereas the way it's kind of moving is all of that is going to happen under the hood. So digital collectible items. So you have the likes of Marvel and Disney and these companies starting to dabble in it too, where you can own a digital toy, let's say, for example, like a 3D model of Boba Fett. And it exists digitally and it's a GLB, so you can spin it around on your screen and inspect it and zoom in and all that kind of stuff. But you own this one thing because the token is attached to your unique digital wallet. But all of that stuff, the kind of jargon and convoluted stuff, is all going to happen under the hood. So you'll put in your email address, you'll pay $20 US via your PayPal or whatever you're used to paying with. You'll have a website interface which shows that you own this Boba Fett statue, and all the janky stuff is going to happen under the hood. So it'll remove those barriers that make it sound like, hang on, what am I signing up for? And do I need a degree to be able to understand this stuff? And then if you're into more analog art and you're a print collector, these things can tie in. So you can buy your print, and with that also comes, if you choose to redeem it, the digital collectible. And maybe the digital collectible has a VR code or something unique on it that gives you access to something else, like the SEP files or the work in progress video, or it could be absolutely anything. You can use it instead of Patreon to say, once you hold this digital identifier key, you get exclusive access to prints that nobody else does. And I know you can already do those things, but this makes it kind of infallible. And in the future, the net, in a Ready Player One style digital world, which is becoming more and more likely. this is the way things are going to work, but I don't think you'll need to know all the bullshit jargon and the MetaMask digital wallet and all this stuff. I think it's all just going to happen the way people are used to things happening.
Okay, I mean that would be very important, obviously, for the people who are not as savvy. I remember there was this was a kind of like a not a gallery kind of thing, but a collector's page. I forgot the name, sadly, but it they basically you had your man cave, and every time you bought like an NFT, you could like put it in your basically virtual apartment. So you could just hang out and like look at art, like jump into a video or something like that. And I thought that was also really cool, like having your because it's like weird when it comes to like collecting stuff, because like all the stuff you on the screen you see basically just a tiny bit of it, but there's like 300 more posters in the flat file and like 40 more in the apartment, and people only people who visit me can see that, but like on a virtual level they could just walk through my gallery technically. So
Exactly. Yeah, there's loads of examples of exactly that. There's on cyber and spatial, like virtual galleries are a major thing. And what you got to remember as well is that with the advent of spatial computing, so Apple are getting in on the game with their Vision Pro, and Meta are going to be getting into more mixed reality spatial computing stuff. It's just we're at the very dawn of it now, but I mean, this is going to happen where, holographic augmented reality stuff is very much the norm. And when they stop being gigantic headsets, probably in the next 4 to 5 years, and there's something more manageable like a pair of glasses, when you walk into your house and you've got all your prints on the wall, if you choose to, and if it's not something that kind of offends the analog collector in you, you can update all the images in your apartment, and when you've got the glasses on, they all show different art. Or, like you say, you can have that virtual space where you can invite anybody to come in and look, and it doesn't matter how many prints you own, you can own 3,000 of them. You can have the biggest virtual space you can possibly imagine, like an aircraft hangar, and put all your work for a display in there.
I mean, that would be very cool. For example, for the collectors groups, like the Mondo Trader, Poster Buddies, or whatever. Like basically, send out, hey, here's my link, guys. See what kind of new art I put up, and that kind of space. And it makes it very interesting because, like, if you are a collector, there's only, like, I don't know, when it comes to the print world, like 100 prints of these, so only 100 people can have it in their kind of setting, and that makes it very interesting because then you can at least. Even if not in person, but you can at least get a like cooler glimpse of it than just on a photo on the internet. So that's, I think, yeah, that's really interesting. And I would love to see more on that definitely in the future. And I hope that this is for people, and especially in the collector space here, that is a little glimpse of with your stuff you're doing, that people get more interested in that.
Yeah, hopefully. And I do understand the reticence, and as I said before at the top, that there's a, you know, a bad rep there. But just to reassure people that, like, I'm not a Ponzi schemer. And it's just that I'm interested in kind of using new technology to find new ways to tell stories. That's essentially it. And that, I think there's a lot of promise there, and we're not there yet. It's still all a bit janky, but I really do think in the next couple of years it'll be normal.
Yeah, and
I hope so. If not, okay.
For myself, I would love to see if that if it happens, like, because obviously there's like with LPs and like vinyl. I'm talking vinyl here. Like people like to collect vinyl and they listen still to vinyl and things like that. That's what I would love to have incorporated. And if you, for example, if you buy vinyl, you automatically get the MP3s or something like that, or if you buy the poster, you get the NFT on top of that, because this is what actually would be my idea of things, that I would love to have it in both ways if I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Take and sorry, I know I'm prattling and we're out of time, but like, take an artist like Chris Skinner, right? An amazing poster artist and 3D wizard as well. So imagine you buy the Chris Skinner Labyrinth poster he did, which was maybe my favorite Labyrinth poster. But when you own the print of his, you get unique access to the 3D model that he built to make the poster. And then because you're using a headset like this, but hopefully like 100 times smaller, you can go into the 3D model and explore it like you do in a game, but because it's virtual, you can look around and be there. You know, it's just stuff like that. It's sort of trying to think, you know, of crazy shit to do with fusing print and digital stuff.
Yeah, from all the things we just talked about, what have you implemented in your Web3 stuff?
So there's loads of different stuff I've implemented, and the way I'm doing it is that if you see on the website, there's different story worlds, but they're all actually connected, and that all of these separate story worlds actually belong to one overall overarching story. And what I'm kind of doing is, rather than say, here is the entry point to the story world, it's more like, imagine a sphere and there's countless multiple entry points to the story world, a bit like being dropped into Fortnite Island and you don't know where you're going to start, kind of thing. And so an example of using Web3 would be, I came up with this character called Leonard, who's this monster hunter kind of badass guy with yellow skin and a blue mohawk and pointy ears.
Yeah, and, reminded me of Wolverine a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's definitely a very Wolverine-y kind of character. And so if the people who collected the NFTs of Leonard, the first three Leonard pieces, got a thing called a social token. So a social token, it's not quite a digital currency because it's not worth anything, right? I mean, some of them do go on to become worth something, but I'm not interested in the kind of financial aspect of it. It's just, see it as a ticket, a digital ticket.
Yeah.
And when you had that, you were able to access a game of Choose Your Own Adventure. So Leonard's part of the story is interactive. He belongs to everything else, to the Endling and to High Whale Rook and all these other story bits. But his movements and how he makes his way through the story is controlled by the holders of his NFTs. So we've been playing this game of Choose Your Own Adventure where I'm the dungeon master and I write it in Leonard's voice, the way he talks, and he's very crass and foul-mouthed and stuff. And that's what we've been doing. So we've got a bunch of people in there playing this game and they just vote on his actions. So I describe what's going on and then I say, what'll I do? Will I run away? Will I fight this fucking thing? Whatever. Yeah. And then they vote. And it's that part is done on a Discord server.
Yeah, and I've seen also it is you have a Twitter page even for Leonard.
Yeah, but I am getting rid of that because I just never updated it. It's hard enough managing. I actually have two Twitter accounts which I need to keep up to date. Yeah. Because for when I got into all this, I set up a separate Twitter. Because the idea being just full immersion. I only want to follow accounts that are into NFTs and stuff. And by the way, nobody called it NFTs at the time. This was crypto art. And so not that that matters, but maybe it gets rid of the horrible term which people associate, you know, with such bad shit. So I set up this account and a couple of friends got into it at the same time. Like James White, Signal Noise, and these guys. It was him that suggested I use my childhood nickname, Griff. And I set up this Griff Twitter account and just kind of thought, like, I'm just going to throw up the odd piece of art and follow accounts that know about this stuff so I can learn from them. And it quickly kind of grew, and it's way past out my following on Twitter that I've had for 10 years. So, like, it's got a big following, and it sort of became social media home for the last 3 years. But now what's happened is I'm kind of left with separate audiences, and my hope really is that I can just merge the two and just be me and say, here's a print and here's an NFT. But at the moment, I probably think I'll keep them separate just for a little while longer, because there is still backlash out there on it, you know, and you don't want to alienate people. And I wish I could explain to everybody the way I'm explaining to you, you know,
you just did. So
I just did. People
going to see it. So.
Yeah. And I'm in it for the right reasons, and that there are bad actors for sure, but there's bad actors in fucking every walk of life. You know, my mom said to me, do you know what I heard? I heard that criminals are using cryptocurrencies. I was like, yeah, but they use regular currency too. You know, doesn't matter that it's crypto, you know. So anyways, I'm not into the whole financial side of it, you know, the trading stuff, which is huge, of course, because that's where it all started. That's just not for me. I'm just there for the art, you know.
Indeed, and it's you can tell. I mean, either you have hidden something, or you're not a multi-billionaire now. So
no, sadly the bubble popped, and No, it's back to being poor, impoverished artists. But like it was crazy. It was completely unsustainable for about a year. People were just paying ridiculous prices for all kinds of stuff. And it was definitely unsustainable.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But that's not all, because there is some actual artwork, some poster artwork that I knew you from, but you've got a new piece with, I almost said Bottleneck, but that's not true. It's with Vice Press. And,
with both.
It's a co-release? Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have done a very cool edition of Blade Runner 2049, and people have seen this probably already up, and it's on sale on Vice Press. So on their website, I don't know, is it coming to Bottleneck as well?
They did Bottleneck yesterday, and their allocation sold out. But I think there's still some Vice at time of recording.
Yeah, that's I was just going on the site. I think it's still available there. It's an edition size of 275 for the reg, and is a 24x36 inch piece. I'm trying to because I did not did not grab the original one. I have only your sketches, which we will show in a minute here. But this one might work. Hold up. Oh, it's very, very tiny. Okay. The preview is very tiny. Oh, no, there's a bigger one. Let me grab this one here. Let's see if that's bigger. Boom. There it is, people. There you have it. All the information as well was available yesterday. That is the reg, which has the English title and has the this Las Vegas kind of desert feeling with color wise. And then we have the more frosty Japanese. It's Japanese, right? Yeah, it's Japanese.
Yep.
Japanese version, which goes more along with later on in the movie when the snow is falling.
Yeah, there you go. But that's and that's on foil too. So those kind of silvery inks, mm-hmm. I think, are going to look very nice.
Yes, I have to say, I really love the title treatment on this one. With the Japanese one, the English one is also really cool. But I don't know, I'm a sucker for any kind of Asian titles.
I know, me too.
And it looks so cool on this one. Really, really lovely. I really like both of them, to be honest. And how about you tell us the story? I mean, this has been done for quite some time, I heard.
Yeah, this is like, I think I started on this about a year ago, mm-hmm. at least. It wasn't a case of working on it solid for the last year. It was kind of coming to it in bits and bobs. And I kind of originally started with a very different concept, which I sent you the roughs for. So originally was going to do the kind of, kind of more nighttime city with the Joy holograms. And there was going to be two of them to show that, you know, she's not actually unique to him, and the spinner kind of flying in the center of the city. Mm-hmm. But as always with these things, the best art director ever is Matt Ferguson. And he said, "Nope, I'm not into it." I was like, "What are you talking about? This is going to be cool. Look at these different colorways." He's like, I'm not feeling it.
The typical.
And also everybody, you know, we're getting a lot of Joy holograms.
Yeah.
And so think of something else. So I went back and I've already watched the movie countless times because I love it so much. Mm-hmm. But I went back again and I thought Vegas is the scene to kind of set the mood for me. And that statue, the woman I have in the poster, is a statue when he first kind of arrives in Vegas. And we took it from there. And then I think I already sent you, or I also sent you an early whip of that poster, the one that did make the grade.
Yeah.
And she's slightly different. It's just different composition. She's bigger and there isn't as much city. I kind of just hinted at that mad pyramid structure they've got going on. And it was just more art direction and pushing it. And Matt always knows best. So, like, I don't argue anymore. I just, I go with it. And he pushes me, but always for the best. Like every time it results in better work. So I just listen now. I scream internally.
Yeah.
But I just listen and get on with it.
But yeah, it turned out really, really well. And I mean, I'm also a sucker for architecture, as you know. And as we've talked back, but when we had the first interview, we talked about the anime architecture book. That yes. You presented it somewhere, but I don't know if you've noticed, but the guy is a German, Stefan Rickles, and he is in Berlin, and he had a show actually with where he was doing prints, and he also sold original background drawings.
Oh. I would have loved to have seen that. That book's a favorite, actually.
It is still happening. I think right now he has it. He had new prints, and he also has a show in Tokyo right now. But I think he's coming back at some point, and then I think there was some talk because right now they had more like these mega cities, city types. And there's also some talks, but when I talked to him earlier, I think was it last year? I think it was last year earlier, or this year, early this year, somewhere. And he said that they are looking into Studio Ghibli stuff, like the nature backgrounds.
Wow. Oh man, that'd be amazing.
That would be. Oh,
Nobody does nature backgrounds like Ghibli, like,
exactly. And
just want to go there.
so that's pretty cool. Yeah, but I would have loved, obviously the drawing is perfect, but I would have loved to see some more architecture, because this is, especially in Blade Runner 2049, there's so many great architecture moments, and it's just incredible.
True. Yeah, absolutely. There really is. I guess it was sacrificed for atmosphere. So I think the one thing I would say that I'm not the best at anatomy or lighting, but I think one thing I do try to get is atmosphere. So when I'm doing the poster, I try to think about how you feel watching it and try and replicate that kind of thing. Do you get me? Does that sound completely up my own butt? Like that's really, I really hope that, and the same with all the other prints with 2001, and it's about a feeling as much as the visual stuff. So yeah, like those Vegas scenes, it's just so choked in yellow air or dust that I
Did
thought
you
I'll just hint at these things.
choose the framework for it? Like, 'cause like all the other the latest ones were all kind of similar in with this kind of framework, like the Alien one, for example, then 2001 obviously was, and things like that. Was there a purpose to keep this kind of series going, or is that was it a like a choice for the frame?
So for this one, it was so Alien wasn't quite. Alien just came out the way Alien came out. Then 2001 came out the way it came out, and then yeah, Ferg said, "Let's keep this going," kind of thing. So we'll do this a similar framing device for 2049, and then possibly even stick to it, or certainly. Mightn't be identical. I don't know if we're going to do exactly the same thing with a different image and a different movie title, but certainly that they could sit alongside nicely together would be the plan.
So, next up would be the creator poster.
I would love to do a creative poster. I'm dying to see the film. So now I've got a few on now. So I've got one nearly finished for Bottleneck. And that hopefully,
Can you
well, I still got to
say
get set and all that.
which IP it is?
No, I don't think so. I think Joe wants to put out a teaser. So I think once the teaser comes out, it'll be very clear what the IP is. And then I'm actually working on another couple for Joe, which would be both based around the same story. But very different takes on this legend, and they're both known films, a little bit more obscure maybe. I've had this kind of long-running battle with the Thing, but we still want to do that, and we're still working it out and battling with that. But I've had these kind of concepts, so it's just fine-tuning that. But at some stage, I will have a thing print out. And then anything else, like when I got back, when we were putting out 2049, I've said to both Joe and James and Matt advice, like, put me in, coach. I really genuinely have missed it so much. And not just the making of the posters, which I love doing, but also all the fun and the community. And when we did Amp Jams and your podcasts and all those things, always just such great crack. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting back in and going to come out with a whole bunch of prints now.
That sounds very good. That Matt Griffin is finally back. That we can share in the beautiful art you're doing. And so thank you so much, Matt, for coming on today and sharing obviously a lot about what happened in the time away from the poster world, but also obviously the scenes of this beauty that you just put out. And yeah, more on the other stuff soon, people. So stay tuned for that. And Matt, I'll give you the last few words so you can use it as a plug, shout out, do whatever you want.
Well, shout out to you, Tom, for having me back on. Thanks for, and it's great to see you again and great to chat again. And shout out to all my friends from the poster community and the Web3 community. And let's all be friends and just embrace the future.
Those are some great words. Some great words. Thank you again, Matt. It has been a pleasure. And we'll see you soon. Bye, guys.
Cheers. Thanks.